Rabbi Soloveitchik points out that in Parshas Truma, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu should tell all these dinim to Bnei Yisrael. That doesn't use the Loshon Titzaveh. Just in the beginning of Parshas Titzaveh, it says the Loshon Titzaveh. Because most of the things on Parshas Truma were Hiroah Shoah, the Chotzer, and the Yerios, the size of the Chotzer, and the Yerios, and the Krushim, and the Michsa, or Reseilim Yadam, the whole thing was only a Hiroah Shoah in the Midbar. Hashem came. In Parshas Tetzaveh, it talks about Havlokas HaMenorah, and it talks about the big dekuna, those are dinim l'doros. And Rashi writes in the beginning of Parshas Tzav, Rashi quotes from the Sifro Elosh and Tzavah Elosh and Zirus, Miyada l'doros. The term mitzvah is a technical term that only applies if something is noig l'doros. So in Russia, you don't call it a mitzvah. Some of the things in Parshas Truma were dinim l'doros, the Oran, the Shulchan with the Menorah, those are Dinim Ledoris. But the Dinim about the Krushim and the Irias, and that was just Hiroah Shoah. Beginning of Parshas Tzav, you have the Rambam also in the Sefer HaMitzvahs has 14 guiding principles that determine whether any given mitzvah belongs in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. So the Rambam, for the first klal is you don't include dinim derabbanan, you only include mitzvahs deraisa, because the Loshon HaGemara, the end of Makkos, is Taryag mitzvahs demalala Moshe Mesinai. Moshe Rabbeinu HaSinai wasn't given the dinim derabbanan, he was only given the dinim deraisa. And then the Rambam has the next klal is that you don't count whatever is Torah Shabbat Peh, only Torah Shabbat Chsav. And the third klal, you only count dinim that are noig l'doros, whatever is only Harash Shoah is not called a mitzvah. Mitzvah is a technical term. So that's why Avdolala says that Atot Tetzaveh is Bnei Yisrael, because everything in Tetzaveh is going to be Dinim L'Doros. The beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, it says that for the Hadlokas HaMenorah, you have to have Shem Mizai Zoch Kosis Lamo'ar. So the Gemara points out, I think it's a Mishnah Menochas, points out that the Shem Mizai Zoch is for the Menorah, for Menochas, you have to have Mincha Plola B'Shemen, doesn't have the same din. So the simple reading of the pasuk is that hadlokas hamnor, you can't be out hadlokas hamnor with candles, with wax candles, or if you use any other kind of oil, you have to use dafke shemazai zoch. So there's a brice on perik lamem adlik and starts on omid beis, second perik and masech shabbos at 24 prokim, second perik starts on omid beis on the next omid, the first omid aleph. And Perik B'Mamadlik, and the Gemara has a brisa. The Mishnah, opening Mishnah, gives you a list of psilos hashmonim that you're not allowed to use for halakas neir Shabbos because they won't burn well. They won't burn well, so the chashash shemayate. He'll see that the flame is not burning well, and he's eating his food. That is going to the candle is going to go out. So he may be mata the neir. Without realizing that it's a malach on Shabbos, and he may cause either mechaba or mavir. So the Gemara has a statement: Psilus Hashmanim Shamachachamim, Ein Madlik Mehem B'Shabbos, Ein Madlik Mehem B'Migdosh. Beis Hamigdosh also, you're not allowed to use those Psilus Hashmanim that are listed off in the opening Pishnah and B'Me Madlikin, because it's not going to burn nicely. And it says Lahalas Netomid. You have to light the menorah in such a way that it should burn nicely. So on the side of on the margin of the Gemara, they have the Gilyan Ashas Tehoris or Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega doesn't understand why does it say, why it says the psilos. The Chumash doesn't tell you what wicks, what material you have to use for the wicks in the Beis Hamikdash. It just tells you what material you have to use for the shemen. Shemen is Aizach, but it doesn't say wicks. So Rabbi Kivega says, I understand why the Gemara has to say that Pshidu Shama Chachamim Eim Adlik Mehem B'Shabbos Eim Adlik Mehem B'Beis HaMikdash, because we want to have that it should burn well. But the Shemen, the Chumash says you have to Shemen Zayzach. Everything else is no good, even if it does burn well. So what did the Gemara say? The Shemen, any Shemen that's no good for Hadlokas Deir Shabbos, because it's not going to burn well, you're not allowed to use from there. Of course not. It's not Shemen Zayzach. There's nothing to discuss. So Rabbi Kivega doesn't have an answer. So they point out that there are other editions of the Gemara that don't have the word Shmonim. It just says Psilos. It doesn't say Psilos or Shmonim. And it's Sefer Digduke Sefer. Digduke Sefer was printed in Europe. someone had the Ksav Yad Minchen, the Munich manuscript of the Gemara, and there were different printed editions. So this Sefer Dikdukas Sefer usually gives you the Shinui Nischos. He didn't have all the Nischos. He has different manuscripts and different printed editions. So there are some editions of the Gemara where the word Shmonim doesn't appear. Probably is more correct. So there was a Balabas in Europe who took the poem of Rav Sadia Gaon. Many Gaonim and Rishonim used to make piyutim where they would list off all of the 613 mitzvahs. Rabbi Natan's brother-in-law also wrote Azharis. Azharis piyutim that he used to recite on Shavuos. By the Sfaradim, I think they still say, by the Ashkenazim, most places they don't say it anymore. Rabbi Soloveitchik said he remembered as a child in Europe that he used to say these long piyutim, rattling off all the 613 mitzvahs on Shavuos, but they said on the first day Shavuos, they said half the mitzvah say. On the second day Shavuos, they said the second half. If they would say the whole thing on the first day, it would take forever. It's a long, long piyutim. So Rav Sadia Gaon wrote such a long poem where he has all of the 630 mitzvahs. So this Rabbi Yerucham Perla was a businessman in Europe. So he put out three fat volumes, each one the size of Bava Basra, where he explains what is the sheet of Rav Sadia Gaon, what is he, some of the lines in the poem are obscure, we're not sure what he's referring to. So he developed the whole, Rabbi Yerucham Perla developed the whole shita. What is Rav Sadia Gaon shita? What counts as a mitzvah? What doesn't count? And he's a fantastic, he was a fantastic baki. He quotes different kinnis and slichas and piyutim from no one ever heard of to show what the Rishonim held, what the details of the mitzvah. So he talks about this issue, Rabbi Kevega raised. He suggests a wild idea. He has a couple of midrashim that he says sin perhaps seem to indicate like this. Hashem is Aizach, because Islam is only Lachatchila. But for the Yevid, you can use any Shemin. Other Shemin is also good. That's a very big Chiddush. That when it says in today said Hashem is Aizach, is only Lachatchila, it's not Miyakid, but the Yevid. That's the only way to answer Rabbi Kevega's kash, unless he says a misprint. That it should just say Psilus. It shouldn't say Psilus or Shmonim. Then the Chumash lists off all of the Shmoneh B'godim of the Kohen Gadol and the Dalet B'godim of the Kohen Hedyot. The din is that if a Kohen does avoid it without big dekuna, the Gemara says, B'zman she'em ikdeim aleim ein kunosim aleim, because the Pasuk sounds like it says they should wear B'godim, the katsho l'chahanovi. It sounds like by wearing the B'godim they become the kudosh b'kudoshes kohuna sheba migdosh. They don't wear B'godim, so they don't have, they only have this, the lowest status of Kedushas Kunusha Bigvulin, because that's what the Yester Rabbeinu Tam. If the Kohen is not wearing Big Dekuna, it does not have Kedushas Kuhuna. So he's permitted to go to the cemetery, he's permitted to marry a Grusha. He's not allowed to. He wants to eat Truma, he doesn't have to wear Big Dekuna. So the answer is there are two levels, there's Kedushas Kunusha Bamigdush and Kedushas Kunusha Bigvulin. So the Gemara has this din that a Kohen who's mechusa begodim, he's not wearing the right number of godim, not wearing all the big dekun is supposed to, is chai misa b'dei shamayim, because dina kizar. And a zara korab yumas does mean they found a tablet from the Sayyid by Sheni that was written in Greek, I think, that a non-Jew who enters the Beis HaMikdash would be put to death. So I remember when I took Jewish history in college here, it was required at that time. So one of the students asked the professor, why did the rabbis put up such a sign? There is no such din. Why? They allow the goyim to come into the Beis HaMikdash. A goy is only metamim mid rabbanim, min atara. Goy is not mikabel tumah, so he's not tumah. So why can't he come into the Beis HaMikdash? Why they put them to death? So the professor was a great goyim. So the professor said, what are you talking about? So the Farish of Pasuk, Azara Karav Yumas. So he translated, a non-Jew who enters the Beis HaMikdash is put to death. There's just three mistakes. Zar doesn't mean a non-Jew, it means a non-Kohen. Hakar means if he's Makriv Karbanis. Not he walks in. And Yumas means Misvedei Shamayim. So otherwise it's good. Otherwise the Zar is good. But each word is wrong. That's not. I don't know why they made such, they have such a, remains from the Baisheni, such a announcement that a non-Jew is not allowed to go past a certain spot. And if he does, they'll put him to death. When you go touring by the coastal years ago, it's not the recent thing. from a long time ago. They discovered that. So the Gemara says that a kohen who does avodah mechusa begodim is chay meisa v'deshmayim because dina kizar. So Rashi on Chumash points out there's a pasuk at the end of all the big dekuna. It says they should wear all these begodim v'lo yamusu. So Rashi says why? Because if they don't wear the big dekuna mechusa begodim is meisa v'deshmayim. So the Ramban points out it's really a tosfos on Sanhedrin. The Ramban on Chumash points out, how can that be that that's pshat in the pasuk what Rashi read? So what did the Gemara have to stand on the head that a mechusa begodim is chayv meisa v'deshmayim? Because b'zman she'ein begdeim aleihem ein kunasim aleihem havalei kizar and azar she'shemesh is b'misa azar akarav yumas. It's a beferish pasuk. You don't need such a whole roundabout drasha. The pasuk says v'lo yamusum. So Tosfos asks that kasha. So the Ramban gives the same answer that Tosfos says. That pasuk is not like Rashi on Chumash. That pasuk goes on the previous pasuk that says they should wear mechnasayim. And if they don't wear mechnasayim, in the Beis Hamikdash begili erva, then there's misa b'dei shamayim. That's all it says. The pasuk doesn't go on mechusa begodim, the other big dekuna. Only goes on mechnasayim. So that's why the Gemara had to have this whole roundabout proof. B'zman she'ein begdeim aleihem ein kunasim aleihem havei lekizar v'zar she'shem ish b'misa. So then the Chumash lists off all of the Shemayin of the Godam of the Kohen Gadol and the Dal of the Godam of the Kohen Hedyot. Even if the Kohen Gadol does Avodah, that's kosher the Kohen Hedyot. When do you need a Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah? Only on Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol did even the Hakrobas, Tomish Shal Shachar, Tomish Shal Ben Abayim, did everything. The Kesem Mishnah quotes the Ritva very rarely. Because Mishnah very rarely quotes a Ritva, probably didn't have most of the Ritvas, but he had a Ritva on Yuma. So he quotes the Ritva on Yuma where he raises the possibility that Tomit Shal Shachar, Tomit Shal Ben Abayim on Yom Kippur is not Kori because it's Yom Kippur. Every day of the year you bring a Tomit Shal Shachar. So maybe that, the fact that the Kohen Gadol did it, maybe that's only with the Rabbana. Maybe not every single thing has to be Menatara done by the Kohen Gadol. What else do you need a Kohen Gadol for? That's a question. What else do you need a Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol brought every day Chavite Kohen Gadol, Minchas Chavite, Machtzisa Babak, Machtzisa Ben Havayim. But he doesn't have to be Makriv, he has to pay for it. He is the Baal HaKorban. Let's say a Yisrael or a Levi brings a Korban to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Kohanim are Makriv the Korban on behalf of the Baal HaKorban. So the Kohen Gadol has to pay for the Minchas Chavite every day, but he doesn't have to be Makriv it. It's Kosher the Kohen Hedyot. When you read the Chumash in Parshas Vayikra, it says by Parhelam Davashal Tzibur, if the Bez Nagodol made a mistake, a unanimous vote of the Bez Nagodol, all 71 members paskin that a certain aspect of Anisa Koris is Mutter, either Hilchus Shabbos or Hilchus Chometz BePesach, either Yom Kippur, some Anisa Koris is Mutter. And Rav HaTzibur, who live in Eretz Yisrael, 51% of the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, violated the din because of the mistake in Psaka, the Bez Nagadol. So instead of requiring each and every individual person to bring a chatos, we say that the Bez Nagadol brings a parhel and davar shel tzibur, and everybody gets a kapara. So when you read the Chumash, it says that the Kohen Gadol is makor of the korban. And the same is by Parkoy Moshiach. There's a din if a regular person, any Tom, Dick, and Harry violates an Issa Koris Peshoigeg, he brings Kizbo Osira. If the Melech violates a din, the Nosi, Asher Nosi Yechta, Nosi is the Melech, and the Gemara says it does not include the Rosh HaSanhedrin, only the Melech, and this Pasuk for sure does not include, Gemara in Harriya says, does not apply to the Rosh HaSanhedrin. The Pasuk in Mishpatim that says, Nasi b'yamcha lo sa'or, so the Ramban HaChumash writes, he's not sure. Maybe the Nasi, a special klola, the special lav, the Mikalol Nasi, maybe that applies not only to the Melech, maybe it also applies to the Rosh HaSanhedrin. Because the Gemara gives you a connection. The Gemara in Horius explains why the Sawyer Nasi, if the Nasi is Machal Shabbos B'Shoigeg, he brings a Sawyer instead of bringing Kizbo Asira, he brings a Zohar, a Sawyer. So the Gemara said, because the mashmois of the pasuk is mashma only the top man, only the melech. But in this pasuk, nasi b'amcha l'sa, there is no such mashmois. So the Ramban on Chumash is Mesupin. Maybe the Rosh HaSanhedrin is included. The Rambam is not Mesupin. The Rambam writes, yes, that the Rosh HaSanhedrin is included. Only by the Sari Nasi, the Rosh HaSanhedrin is not included. So, in Parshas Vayikra, when it says, if a hedyot, if a plain person violates an aver b'shoigig, if he should be, would have done it, amazing, it would have been chayv korsa, he does it b'shoigig, chayv kiz bosira. If the melech violates an aver b'shoigig, he's a korus b'shoigig, he brings a soyer nosi. If the koi moshiach, if the kain gorl violates an aver b'sheyesh b'korus b'shoigig, he brings par koi moshiach. So it says there also that the kain gorl is marker of the korban. So there's a Mishnah in Megillah, Ein Bein, there are two types of Kohen Gadol. When you appoint a Kohen Gadol, a Kohen is born a Kohen, but he's not born a Kohen Gadol. So when the Kohen Gadol retires, when he's too old to function, Kohen Gadol retires, so they appoint a new Kohen Gadol. So how do they make him into a Kohen Gadol? So there are two ways, either Meshicha B'Shem Menam Yishcha, or B'Meruba B'Godin. So the Gemara in Yuma learns it out from the Pesukim. This was important because towards the end of the Bais Rishon period, it says in Sefer Devarim, Yoshio HaMelech was one of the kings. So Yoshio HaMelech says in Devarim was going as the Oren Abris with the Luchais and the basement and the Beis HaMikdash. There was a separate chamber which when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash based on the Megillah B'Ksav that David HaMelech gave him. David HaMelech got it from the Navi. So Hakol B'Ksav Mi'ad HaShem Alai Haskel is a Pesuk in Devarim. They had to build the Beis HaMikdash exactly according to the blueprints. They're not allowed to make Mishana anything. So the Rambam explains that when Yoshua Melech was going to his dorm with the luchas in the basement, the Rambam is quoting a medrash, that chamber where they put it was miyuchad lekach from day number one. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, that was part of the blueprint, Hakol B'Ksav Mi'ad HaShem Alai Haskel, they should have such a chamber. So not only was he going to his the luchas, the dorm with the luchas, he was going to the Shemen HaMishcha and the Tzinsenes HaMon and Matei Aharon also. So the whole Bais Sheni period, there was no Shem and Mishchas Kodesh. How do you appoint a Kohen Gadol? The way do you make a Kohen Gadol? You take a Kohen Gadol, you do Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. But at the end of the Bais Rishon period, for quite a few years, and then the whole Bais Sheni period, for quite a few years, there was no Shem and HaMishcha. So at that time, they made a Kohen Gadol, Ayidei Meruba B'Godim. He would wear the Shpana B'Godim and do out for 7 days. He would do Avoida wearing the seven B'Godim, the Shpana B'Godim, the eight B'Godim. Would wear the Shemayin of Gotham for 7 days and do Avodah. And there was Bain Kecha that made him into a Kohen Gadol. So the Mishnah says in Megillah, it has a whole bunch of Ein Beins. In the days of the Tanaim, they used to recite the whole Torah Shabbat Peh Bah Peh. Nothing was written down. So they had to have mnemonic devices to remember all of this heavy halacha. So they said a whole bunch of Ein Beins together that have no connection with each other. So it starts out, Ein Bein Ha Demishan La Desheni El or the Dinim HaPurim. When do you observe the Dinim HaPurim? Then it has a whole bunch of other Ein Beins that have nothing to do with Megillah. But they put them all together. That's the way they remembered the whole Torah Shema Peh, by putting together a whole bunch of Ein Beins. So it says Ein Bein Zav Lezavah, and Ein Bein Zav HaRayesh Tevius and Zav HaRayesh Oldeshrius has a whole bunch of Ein Beins that are not connected. It has also Ein Bein, the two kinds of Kohen Gadol, the Kohen and Gedolim, until the days of Yehoshua HaMelech had Meshicha B'Shem and HaMishcha. And from that time on, they had Meruba B'Godim. So it's Ein Bein Kohen and Moshiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, the Kohen Meruba B'Godim, Ela Par Habo Al Kol HaMitzvahs. What does that mean? So Rashi on the Gemara, Rashi on the Mishnah Megillah says, Par Abo Kol HaMitzvahs means the Par Helam Dovish Al Tzibur and the Par Kohen Moshiach. The only one who can be makrivit is the Kohen Gadol, as it says in the Chumash. The Kohen Gadol has to be, just like you need the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur, and if a Kohen Hedya does the Avodah Yom Kippur, it'll be possible, but you have it. The Tomer of Yom Kippur, probably what the Kes Mishnah quoted for in the Tvor is probably correct. Probably the Tomit Shal Shachat Tom Shabbat Abayim is not part of Avodas Yom Kippur. So that could be that. That's only with the Rabbanon. So if a Kohen Hedyot would be Makrev, it could be the Bidi Ebed, it would be kosher. But just like you need a Kohen Gadol for the Avodah on Yom Kippur, so too Rashi says you need a Kohen Gadol for the Par Halam Dov Shal Tzibur, Par Kohen Mashiach. So Tosfos says it's not true, even though that's what it says in Chumash, the Torah's Kohanim, the Sifra, and that pasuk says that it's not to be taken literally. What does it mean? I don't know. Torah's Kohanim doesn't explain. Why does the Chumash say that you need in Parshas Vayikra? Why does it say by Par Halam Dova Shel Tziba, by Par Kohen Mashiach? Why does it say the Kohen Gadol should be Makavit if you don't need a Kohen Gadol? I don't know, but the Tanoim say you don't need a Kohen Gadol. So they say Rashi is wrong. So what does the Mishnah mean? Ein Mekohen Mashiach B'Shamerech Shel Kohen Rav Gavno Al Par Ba'al Kol HaMitzvah means the Kohen Gadolim and the Bai Sheni, if they would be Mechal Shabbos B'Shoigeg, they would be Miskapa B'Kizbo Hasira. They wouldn't have to bring a Par Kohen Mashiach. Par Kohen Mashiach only applies if you are Kohen Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. If you're that kind of a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol in the Bai Sheni period wouldn't have that din. But the Hakrovas HaKorban of the Par Halam Dovah Shel Tzibo, the Hakrovas HaKorban of the Par Kohen Mashiach does not require a Kohen Gadol for that. A Kohen Hedyon is also good. The only time you need a Kohen Gadol is on Yom Kippur. So let's say a Kohen Gadol one fine day will be Makra B'Korban Tomid. So you don't need a Kohen Gadol for that. A Kohen Hedyon is also good. So what's so bad if I wear Abu Abgadim? So Gemara says, no good. The Avodah will be possible by the Eved. If he's a Kohen Gadol, if he's going to wear only Abu Abgadim, he doesn't have a din of a Kohen Hedyon either. He's a Mechusa B'Gadim. He'll be a Mechusa B'Gadim. Or if a Kohen Hedyon will bear Merubah B'Gadim, Kohen Hedyon will wear Shemayna B'Gadim, and he'll do Avodah. It'll be possible. Kohen Hedyon has to wear the Dalet B'Gadim, and the Kohen Gadol has to wear Shemayna B'Gadim. And a Meruba B'Gadim or Mechusa B'Gadim is Avodah P'sula. Avodah would be possible. That's the Shalom when you say a Kohen Meruba B'Gadim Avodah P'sula. What if, let's say, the Kohen has, Kohen Hedyon has Dalet B'Gadim, and then he has, he's chilly, so he's wearing a scarf. Chilly in the Beis Hamikdash, no steam, wearing a scarf. Is that also Meruba B'Gadim? Maybe Meruba B'Gadim is only if he has an additional Begad from the Big Day Kohunim. So the simple reading of the Gemara, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, the beginning of the second parak in Zvachim, talks about Kohanim wearing extra begodim. So is that even an extra beged shel chulin, not big day kodesh, is also merubah begodim. So the Netziv has in his Trubas, he thinks that the Rambam holds not so. He thinks the Rambam holds that's only if the extra beged is in a makam chatzitza. If the extra beged is in between the big dekuna and his body. The Gemara has dinim of chatzitze there. The big dekuna have to be touching the body. So if you have an extra beged in between, so chatzitze. But if you wear a scarf on top, there's no issue of chatzitze. So the Netziv thinks that the Rambam disagrees with Rashi. Thinks that according to the Rambam, that's not called a merubah begadim. That's a chiddush. Some of the big dekuna had shatnas. Whenever it says sheish means pishton, linen. And whenever it says tchelis is not only a color, tchelis is a material. The Gemara says tchelis has to be wool. So if you have sheish and tchelis together, by definition, it's going to be shatnas. So the ephod and the choshet of the Kohen Gadol had shatnas, and the avnet of the Kohen Hedyon had shatnas. And nonetheless, the psukim say they were permitted, they were obligated to wear shatnas in the big dekuna. We spoke last week that pereches had tchelis. So usually, the pereches had shatnas in it. But usually, shatnas is only an issue if you're wearing shatnas, derech levisha, or ha'aloh, if you use it as a blanket. So the pereches shouldn't be a problem unless someone's going to lean on the pereches. Not going to lean on the pereches because it's hegdish, so he'll be in violation of moel behegdish. So that's not a problem. But the pereches in the shul we spoke about. Pereches in the shul, in the days of the Gemara, the pereches used to have the status of tashmishi kedusha. Because the practice, the Gemara says, Megillah, the practice used to be they would take down on a regular basis. They would take down the pareches of the Aron Kodesh, put it on the Shulchan in order to put the Sefer and Torah on top. So in the days of the Gemara, the pareches had the status of Tashmisha Kedusha. But Bizman Azad, no one ever does that. If there's no mappa on the Shulchan, someone will probably put a talus on. They won't put the Sefer Torah directly on. And the pareches is a tashmish to tashmish, because the Sefer Torah sits in the Aron Kodesh, the wooden Aron Kodesh, then the pareches is on the outside. So it beautifies the Aron Kodesh, which in turn holds the Sefer Torah. So the Pashtus is that Bizman HaZeh doesn't have the status of tashmish Kedusha. So then we spoke less speaking, then strictly speaking should be mutter for a person to lean on the parachas from shul and to warm himself, then you shouldn't use shatnas. But the big lekuna, they had shatnas, that's a big machloikis, and Taisvis and a few places in the Rambam and the Raban have a machloikis. Did the kohen head, you have to take off the avnet immediately after he finished the avodah, or was he allowed to wear the big dekuna all day long? So that's the shot. They say big dekuna were exempted from the prohibition as hutra. Big dekuna are not subject to the din of shatnes. But they say, no, it's not hutra, it's the chuya. The tzorach ha-mitzvah of hakrovas karbonah, so the tzorach ha-mitzvah of wearing big dekuna is doicha the isa shatnes. But if he's not, if he already did the avodah, and there's no longer a mitzvah to wear the big dekuna, then the Rambam holds that there is an isa shatnes. So that's a big machloikas. In the Chumash it says you have to make the choshen, and then they should put the Urim Tumim into the choshen. What is the Urim Tumim? So the Ibn Ezra has a whole suggestion that it was some kind of a design with all kinds of symbols. And he's unhappy with Rashi. Ibn Ezra is unhappy with Rashi. But Rashi says that it was had the Shem HaMfarish on it. He thinks that Rashi didn't study properly the Truvas of Rav Haigoin. That's why he didn't know the truth. So the Ramban pops the Ibn Ezra over the head. He says he doesn't know how to read the Truvas HaGoinim. Rashi's 100% right. And that's what the Urim Tumim was. It had the Shem HaMfarish. It had Shem HaMfarishim on it. And they put it inside so that Rashi explained, so that when there would be nishal b'urim v'tumim, if a boy's dating a girl and he wants to know whether he should marry the girl, so it's only for his personal shayla, so you have no right to ask the urim v'tumim, and if you do ask, the urim v'tumim is not going to answer. But if you want to know whether Klal Yisrael should go to Melchama, or how should they go to Melchama? Should they go from the west or from the east? How many soldiers should they take? So that, if it's Tzorchei HaTzibur, the Melech is Nishal Burim Tumim, the Rosh Hasar HaTzava is Nishal Burim Tumim, Tzorchei HaTzibur. So then, the Urim Tumim was inside the Choshen, and the letters on the Choshen would light up and give the answer. The Shailas in the Baisheni period. So they knew from day number one that Urim Tumim, the Choshen is not going to answer any questions. It's in Tanakh, it says like that. Adamot Karnel Urim V'Latumim. They knew that it's in the Bais HaShlishi. Baisheni are not going to answer any shilas. So did they need the Urim Betumim? Is it an integral part of the Beged of the Choshen? Or do you say, no, the Urim Betumim with the Shem HaMfarish is only for the purpose of, if you have to be Nishon, Urim Betumim, so then you need it. If you're not going to be Nishon, no one's got to be Nishon. The Beged, the Shemayin HaBegadim, one of the Shemayin HaBegadim is the Choshen. The Choshen is a good Choshen without the Urim Betumim. You only need the Urim Betumim if you're going to be Nishon. So that's a discussion, Rashi and Tosfos, and the Rambam and the Ravid. Rashi and Tosfos, the first perek in Yuma, have this discussion, and the Rambam and the Ravid have this machlokes. The tzitz, the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz. And the tzitz says, Kodesh Lashem, Kodesh La Yud Kei Vav Kei, Kodesh Lashem. What is the role of the tzitz? So the pasuk says, if they bring karbonis bepsul, so if you have the tzitz is meratzah, it makes the korban kosher. Ritzu is a technical term that usually applies, ruba de rubin tanach, it applies to karbonis. Hurtza, the Mishnais have. If the korban is kosher, it says hurtza. If the korban is pasul, it says lo hurtza. So the Ratzon Lahem means if they brought a korban b'psul and you have the tzitz is meratzah. So there's a machlokes ha-tanoim, is the tzitz meratzah if it's in existence, even if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz, or is it only if he's wearing it? So that's a machlokes ha-tanoim, whether only odeh ha-mitzchah meratzah, that's how we paskin, that's a simple reading of the pasuk. The Kohen Gadol should wear it all the time. The Ratzon Lahem to be meratzah on the pasul of karbonis. And the other Tana disagrees. That's how we pass. The other Tana disagrees. No. Even if he's not wearing the tzitz, even if the tzitz is hanging on a hook in the Beis Hamikdash in a chamber in a room somewhere, it's okay. It's also meratzah provided that it's not broken. If the tzitz is in good condition, then the existence of the tzitz is meratz. We assume it has to be wearing the tzitz. When does we have to be wearing the tzitz? So I think if you ask 100 people, I think 100 out of 100 people probably would say has to be wearing the tzitz when the korban was brought, the psul, which psul? So the Gemara in Yuma says it can't be psul small. The kohen has to do avodah with the right hand. So if he does avodah with the left hand, it's no good. And if a non-kohen does the avodah, it's no good. The tzitz doesn't help. The Gemara goes through every possible psul that it could be. We do avodah balayla is psul. So the only avodah by process of elimination, the only avodah that's left is betumah. If a korban was kara betumah, then it's psul. But if the kohen was wearing the tzitz, then it's kosher. So when does the kohen have to be wearing the tzitz? So the pashtus is when they were makriv the korban. When they were makriv the korban, the kohen has to be wearing the tzitz. I think Rashi doesn't say it like that. Rashi in Yuma says if the kohen gadol was wearing the tzitz, when the korban became nitma, before they did the avodah. Why should that? Let's say they shechted a korban of Beis HaMikdash, then the chela became nitma, and then they were makta the chela on the mizbech. So when do you say the bidi eved it's kosher? I think everyone would have said like that. If the kohen gadol was wearing the tzitz at the time that they were makta it on the mizbech, but not at the time that it became nitma. What the tzitz accomplishes that it's considered as if it never became nitma. Why should it be? So the Shagasari has a sefer on Yuma, Gvorasari. So he talks about that. How did Rashi know that? That's the pshat. Odal mitzchah meratz is only if the kangol is wearing the tzitz at the time the korban became nitma. It doesn't depend on the time of hakrovas hakorban. The Gemara raises an issue. So the kangol should really wear the tzitz the way we paskin. It's only meratz on tuma on korbanos that are offered the tuma. If the kohen gadol is wearing the tzitz, odal mitzchah. So the Gemara raises an issue: what's going to be on Yom Kippur when the kohen gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The Gemara says he doesn't wear the tzitz. There are three sets of big dekuna. This kohen gadol wears shmoneh begadim, kohen gadol wears dalet begadim, but on Yom Kippur he wears only dalet begadim, and nothing is shatnas. Everything is linen. Big day kohen gadol on Yom Kippur is the third set of Kabbalah. It doesn't appear in today's Sedra, but it appears in Achrei Mois. It says they only wish Abu Abgodim, everything is Sheish, everything is linen. So the Gemara raises the question, what's going to be on Yom Kippur when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kodoshim? The Gemara says he's not allowed to wear the tzitz. Why is he not allowed to wear the tzitzes? Why is he not permitted to wear the tzitz? The Pashta says, because it'll be Merub Abgodim. The Chumash says in Pashta's Achrei Mois, he's supposed to wear Dala Abgodim. Going to wear Dala Begadim plus the tzitz, it'll be Chamisha Begadim, it'll be a Meruba Begadim. So surprisingly, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says he's not allowed to wear the tzitz because it's made from gold. And then Katega Nasa Sanega. Gold was involved in the Egel HaZohav. The Gemara said the same reason why you're not allowed to blow Shofar and a Shofar shall Pura. Because the Egel HaZohav, Egel is a blood of a Pura. Egel HaZohav was not a real Egel, but it's in the shape of an eagle. So Shofar Shel Pura is a kateger, is a kitruk of the Chet HaEgel. And anything of gold, Egel HaZov was an eagle and it was gold. So any gold in the world, it's not the gold from the Egel HaZov. And any Pura in the world, because the Pura and the eagle are a mother and a baby, so any Shofar Shel Pura in the world is a Dabar HaMakatreg. And then Katega Nasa Sanegan. So the Gemara says, how does the Kohen Gadol? So the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to wear the tzitz when he goes into the Kodesh Kodoshim on Yom Kippur. And you're not allowed to blow shofar and the shofar shall pour on Rosh Hashanah. So how does he wear the tzitz all year long? Why are you only worried about Yom Kippur? The Gemara says, no. There are two kinds of Ein Katega Nasa Sanegan. One is a lulav gozel. The Babli says a lulav agozel is no good because mitzvah babavir. The Yerushalmi says on that Mishnah, lulav agozel is possible because ain't kategan asa sanega. So the original Ein Kategen Asan Egen means if this was a Lulav HaGozel, this was the thing that was stolen. This is the Cheftza Shel Aver. That's Ein Kategen Asan Egen. Then there's another din, if the thing is a more dakistika form, a more sensitive form of a Kitrug, any gold in the world, even though I wasn't involved in the Egel Azov, wasn't involved in any Aver. I just dug the gold out from under the ground. I just discovered it. Any Pura in the world, it's not the Pura with the Egel Azov. Any Pura in the world represents the Cheta Egel. It's called the Kitrug. So that, Enka Tegra Sanega, that darkest diga form, that only applies when the Kohen Gadol goes in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that applies. So the Gemara says, how does it apply to Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah? You're blowing Shofar in New York, you're not blowing Shofar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Gemara says, came into the Zikaron Kasi, Kilifnim Dami. Since Tkiyah Shofar is a form of Tfilah, and whenever you're davening Lifnei Hashem. You have to visualize as if you're davening Mamish Lifnei Hashem in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So this din of Ein Kategen Asan Eger only applies to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Gemara said, why doesn't it apply to the Oren? The Oren is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim all the time. And the Oren is made from gold. It has wood, but it has gold, is coated with gold on the inside and on the outside. So the Gemara says, no, it's only the person shouldn't blow shofar and a shofar shal para, but the Kohen Gadol shouldn't wear the gold when he's in the Kodesh HaKadosh. But the gold itself is okay. Just people shouldn't blow shofar with that. And the Gemara says, when you blow shofar, since came into the Zikaron Kasi, since it's for the purpose of tefillah, ki shofar and Rosh Hashanah is a form of tefillah. So shofar is also like when you crown a new king. So they will blow shofar also. So Rosh Hashanah, the theme of the day is Malchus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world on Rosh Hashanah. The first 6 days, there was nobody there. So Ein Melech B'Loyom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't the king. On the seventh day, on the sixth day of Sheshes Mei Bereshis, that was Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah was the sixth day of the Bria when Adam Rishon was created. So that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu became a Melech. So every year, we proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech on the anniversary of the day when he became a Melech, when Ein Melech B'Loyam, when he created Adam and Chava on the first day, that's when he became Melech. So every year we coronate him as Melech. So that's not a form of tefillah. That's like by the Yom HaSoilam, on New Year's Eve, they blast, they blow horns, they make out a lot of noise. So when you coronate a new king, so you blow shofar. That's a different kind. But there's another theme in Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, too. There are a lot of different themes. Another theme is that it's a form of tefillah. We're praying, it's a tefillah without any words. And we imply HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what we need, he should take care of all of our needs. So what does the Gemara give this reason, the reason why the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear the tzitz when he goes into Kodesh HaKadosh, Ein Kategen Asan Egel, the whole story, the whole discussion in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, it's a different reason. It'll be a miyuta begodim. The Chumash says in Parshas Zachrimos, the Dalet Big Day Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, all sheish, everything is sheish. He's not allowed to wear any of the other, he's not allowed to wear the Shemayna Begodim. He wears only Dalet Begodim and they're all sheish. So some, that's a good kasha on the Gemara, so some write, maybe Miyuta Begodim is only if it's a beged. Maybe the tzitz is a tachshit. Maybe there's no Issa Miyuta Begodim. Let's say the Kohen Gadol will wear a golden watch. In addition to, a Kohen will wear a golden watch. In addition to wearing Dalet Begodim, in addition to the Kohen Gadol wearing Shemayna Begodim, will wear a watch in such a way that it's not a chatzitza. He'll wear it over here. And the big day can only go till over here. So is that called Miyuta Begodim? It's not a beged, it's a tachshit. That's what some suggest. Some Gedolim suggest that maybe since the tzitz was a tachshit, that it's not an Issa Miyuta Begodim. But our kalpana, we assume he's not allowed to wear the tzitz when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, so what's going to be if you hold the tzitz is only meratza and tuma, if od al mitzcha meratza, ain't od al mitzcha, ain't a meratza, what's going to be when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? He's not covered in case an avodah will be done betuma, the carbon will be puzzled, I have to repeat it. The Gemara assumes that can't be. It cannot be that the Rabbanu Shel Olam tells us to bring karbanos on Yom Kippur in such a way that we're not covered. we're not covered with the tzitz to be machsher. So the Gemara says the answer must be the tumah hutra b'tzibur. If a korban is brought, a korban tzibur, korban shezman kavua, it doesn't really depend on korban yachid versus korban tzibur. The Mishnah in Tmura says it depends. What's a korban shezman kavua? A korban shezman kavua. Ruba de ruba of the korbanis yachid are einzman kavua. Ruba de Ruba, almost all of the Karbanis Tzibur is Zman HaKavua. It's Midim and Musaf. We have a Parhalam Davish al Tzibur. That's not Zman HaKavua. We don't know if they ever brought in the history of the world, did they ever bring a Parhalam Davish al Tzibur? The whole thing is so far-fetched that 71 members of the Bezna God will all vote unanimously on anything. Not going to be any disagreement. And all 71 will make a mistake and they'll paskin that in Issa Koris is Mutter. And 51% of the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael will listen to them. The whole story is so far-fetched. Probably it never happened. The Gemara does not record that it ever happened. Tanakh never records that it happened. So it's a question whether it ever happened or not.
Really?
Yeah.
How can it be considered Takshite if it's one of the Epigadim, though? I mean, we call it one of the
Epigadim. We call it one of the Epigadim. It could be. Could be a Slavdavkin. That's the question. It is a Takshit. It's not a beggar. Beggar is always with cloth. So that's a question. Maybe, since it's a tachshit, maybe it's not a bay. Maybe there's no din of miyuta begotten. So maybe Kohanim are permitted to wear watches. It's not a begot. Sometimes it's not a tachshit either. But maybe since it's not made from cloth, maybe according to the Rambam, the way the Netziv claims, according to the Rambam, the din of miyuta begotten is only if it's an extra begot of big kahuna. So that'll be a problem with the tzitz, but it won't be a problem with the watch. But it could be that even if you hold like Rashi, that miyuta begotim even applies to beggar shalchol. If you wear a scarf shalchol, it'll also be miyuta begotim. It could be that a watch is not a beggar. It could be. That's a question. So again, so the Gemara raises, the Gemara holds up an idea. There's no pasuk on the Gemara holds an idea. It cannot be. The Torah tells us that Kohen Gadol should wear the tzitz to cover tamid. He should always try to wear the tzitz, because only meratzan the karbonis that occurred in a state of tumah if he was wearing the tzitz. So the question was going to be on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara has a machlokes hamaroyim and yuma davov. And then the Gemara, the next stop, the Zayin shows that it's really a machlokes hatanoim from earlier generations. When you have a korban tzibur and it's mutter to bring it in a state of tumah, is that duchuya, is that hutra? So what's the difference, halacha lemaaseh? Bottom line is mutter. If the korban was brought in a state of tumah, you're permitted l'chatchila to bring in a state of tumah. So that's the shaila. The Gemara says, if it's hutra, if when the Torah formulated the din that korbanos may not be brought in a state of tumah, do you say that korbanos shezmanim kavua were never included in that din in the first place? The dinim don't apply at all. Or do you say no, that the tzorech to fulfill the mitzvah of tamidim u'masafim is Deicha the Issa Tumah. What's the difference whether Tchuya Hutra, whether it was never included in the first place, that's Hutra, or was included, but the Tzorach Kim HaMitzvah is Deicha. So the Gemara has two differences. One difference is, do you need the Kohen Gadol wearing a tzitz at the time that they brought the Korban? So if you say, Avoida B'Tumah by Korbanus Shezmanam Kavua is Hutra, Tumah is Hutra B'Tzibur. Hutra means the whole parsha of tumah doesn't apply. None of the dinim apply to a korban shezman kavua. So none of the dinim apply means that there's neither an isa nor a psul. So you don't need the kohen to wear the tzitz to be meratze on a korban shezman kavua. But if you hold that tumah and a korban tzibur, tumah is the chuyav tzibur, the tzorach hakrovas hakarbanis, the tzorach kim hamitzvah hakrovas hakarbanis, is materas to do the iser, so that's only mater the iser. So what's machsher the carbon? There's another din that a carbon that's offered betumah is possible. They're two different dinim. So for that you need the kohen gadol to wear the tzitz. Kohen gadol wears the tzitz doesn't make it that it's mutar lechatchila to bring carbonus betumah. It'll be meratzah b'diavad lechatchila not. So if it's a carbon shezman kavua, it's what we call a carbon tzibur, carbon shezman kavua. So the tzorach hakrovas carbon is mater the iser. But then you need the Kohen Gadol to wear the tzitz to be machsher the korban. But if you hold hutra, then you don't need the tzitz to be meratze. So the Gemara has, that's one difference. So it just so happens that the Rambam has a stira. The Rambam paskens, the tzitz is only meratze if the Kohen Gadol is wearing it. And nonetheless, and on Yom Kippur, he's not allowed to wear the tzitz when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And nonetheless, the Rama Paskins to Meduchui B'tziba, not Hutra. So you need Ritzit Tzitz to be Metzurach with the Tzorach HaKrabas HaKarbin. It's only Mata the Yisr. Doicha, when you say if a tumah is duchui b'tzibur, you can be doicha an isa. You can't be doicha a psul. If something is an isa, it's an essay, it's doicha lois essay. So the tzorach hakrabas hakarban is doicha the isa of hakrabas karbanas b'tumah. But you can't be doicha a psul. A psul is a psul. So to be machsha the psul, you have to have the kohen gadol should be wearing the tzitz. That's what it says in the Gemara. So the Rambam has a stira. The Rambam paskins that tzitz is only beratza when the kohen gadol wears it. And on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol not allowed to wear the tzitz when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he paskins tumah is dechuya b'tzibur. So the, if a tumah will occur on Yom Kippur, you need the tzitz to be the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz, and the Gemara assumes that can't be. It's either tumah hutra b'tzibur, so hutra legamrei, or the tzitz is meratzi, even if you're not wearing it. It cannot be that on Yom Kippur, the Rabbanu Shalom told us to bring the Kabbalah in such a way that we're not covered with the Ritzitzi. So the Rambam is not worried about that. That's a major kasha on the Rambam. The Gemara in the whole sugya, the Avob, the Avzayin, the Gemara, that's given. That's an assumption that the Tanoim made, the Tanoim and Amram, they all made that assumption. It cannot be. It cannot be that you're not covered on Yom Kippur. What did it say on the Tzitz? It said Kodesh Lashem. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. In the beginning of the Gemara Sukkah, in the very beginning of the Gemara, said the Gemara's machlokes, was it all in one line, Kodesh Lashem, or was it in two lines, Kodesh Lamed, and Yud Kei Vav Kei was higher up. So you read the second line first, and then you read the top line afterwards. A very funny way to write. Machlokes hatanoim. So one Tana says, don't, Drei Menishken Kap, I was in the Vatican. Gemara in Horius tells the whole story. How did he get into the Vatican? He saved the emperor's daughter's life. Whole strange story. And then he allowed him to go into the Vatican to take whatever he wants. So when he was there in the Vatican, he saw the parochas that the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, they took the parochas to Rome. He saw the parochas and it had droplets of blood on it. Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur supposed to be Zorik the Dam in front of the Parochas, not supposed to be Zorik it on the Parochas. Once in a while, he accidentally would be Zorik the Dam on the Parochas. He says the Parochas had Dam where it was supposed to land on the floor, it wasn't supposed to land on the Parochas, but he saw the Dam. And then he says that he saw the Tzitz is in Rome in the Vatican, and the Tzitz is in one line, Kodesh Lashem. So don't tell me that it's in two lines. I saw it. That's archaeological evidence that that's the din. So the Rambam paskins that it's on two lines. So the Kesef Mishneh is, how can he paskin two lines against archaeological evidence? So he says, every Kohen Gadol had a different, some Kohen Gadol. Some Kohen Gadolim had a wide forehead, some had a narrow forehead, some were taller than others, some were skinnier. So they couldn't have one tzitz that fits everybody. They had to have many different tzitz. There were many Kohanim Gadolim, so there were probably a lot of tzitz. And so they found this Tana was once in the Vatican. He saw one tzitz. Maybe there were, just like there was a Machlokes HaTanaim in a later generation, maybe there was a Machlokes Bizman HaBayis. The Rambam apparently thinks there was a Machlokes Bizman HaBayis. And in every generation they did the tzitz the way they thought it's supposed to be. So he saw a tzitz that had everything in one line. And that was the minority opinion. The majority opinion is supposed to be in two lines. That's what the Rambam apparently thinks. Archaeological evidence should be acceptable. You see from the Gemara. One Tana says, I was there. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, in the beginning of Amechas HaSfina, Rabbi Baba Chana was once touring in the Midbar, and he had an Arab, was his tour guide. So the Arab was showing him all the different sites. So he showed him the Mesa Midbar in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mesa Midbar. So there's a machlekes bisham and bisul. How many strings do you need in tzitzis? You have three long strings, you fold them over to make six. That's bisul. Or you take four long strings, you fold them over to make eight. That's bishamai. That's one of the six dinim where we paskin like bishamai. We take four long strings and you fold it over. So they asked Rabbi Baba Chana, you saw the Mesa Midbar. Did you check to see how many strings they had in their begotten? Did they have three strings or four strings? So he said, it didn't occur to me. So they said, what a moron, what an idiot. You're on a tour. And he shows you the Mesa Midbar, you don't check. So you see that we would accept archaeological evidence to Paskin to be Machriya the Din. That's the question, if they have archaeological evidence to indicate what the Chalazin is, so do we accept archaeological evidence? So some say we don't accept the Soloveitchik family. In Eretz Yisrael in America, they say the name of the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi, we know the Beis Halevi didn't accept when the Radzina Rebbe came out. Radzina Rebbe was a Chassidish Rebbe. And he wrote a whole sefer, and he felt that if we don't show the Rebbeinu Shalom that we're interested in building a Beis HaMikdash, he's not going to help us. We have to take the first step. And then the Rebbeinu Shalom would take the second step. So he was a brilliant man, especially traveled to Italy here, that there was a big aquarium there that had all kinds of sea animals, and he's going to figure out which one is the Chalazin. And he's gonna use Chalazim for the tzitzis, but his main interest, not so much for the tzitzis, he wants to show the Rebbeinu Shlom that we're preparing Chalazim for the big day, preparing Tchelus for the big day Kuhuna. So when he came out with his Chiddush, so many disagreed with him. Many started, by the time when the Nazis killed all the Jews, there were tens of thousands of Jews who were wearing Tchelus and the tzitzis. Not only Radzina Hasidim, many other Hasidim. There were Misnagdim also who were wearing trailers. But when he first came out, so many were opposed. So we know that the Beis HaLevi was opposed, but in the Radzina Rebbe put out three Svarim. Now they print all three together, Shlosha Sifri HaTcheles. So one of the Svarim, he collected all of the reactions of the Rabbanim of his generation to what he wrote. So someone sent him a letter, he doesn't have the name, someone who was close to the Beis HaLevi sent him a letter to explain why the Beis HaLevi is opposed. So he's in the letter. He's not opposed because he can't restore a tradition based on archaeology and other things. He's opposed for a different reason. He said he thought that it's a squid fish. The Radzina Rebbe thought that it's his gigantic squid fish, and it spits out the black dye. So he thought that that's the trailers. So the Mukurov, the acquaintance of the Beis HaLevi, sends a letter to the Radzina Rebbe that the Beis HaLevi Tainan, how can it be the squid fish? My parents knew about the squid fish. Our fathers, our grandfathers knew about the squid fish, and it spits out this black stuff. And they never used it for the trailers. So why did the trailers disappear? Well, if you're going to come up with a chalos and with the trailers, you have to explain why it disappeared. You can't say it's the squid fish. We always knew about that. That didn't disappear. So it's as if we have a masorah that you're wrong. But he says, if you come up with a new fish and you explain to me why it disappeared, I'll be the first one to go along with you. That's what the acquaintance of the Beis HaLevi writes. So the Leitchik family has a different version of what the Beis HaLevi said. They claim that the Beis HaLevi said that even if you're right, you're not right, because you have to have a tradition. You have to have a masorah of what the halazin is, and since the masorah was lost, it can't be reinstated. We'll have to lasid lavai. Eliyahu Navi will come, and he never died, and he has a tradition what the halazin is. But without a tradition, he can't go. So when Rabbi Soloveitchik said that, when he said it in the yeshiva, so the students didn't argue with him. When he said it by the balabatim in the shiur for the he used to give a shiur every Tuesday night for the balabatim. So they started asking him from all over. So they asked him from this Gemara by the tzitz. The Tana says, I saw the tzitz in Rome, and it has everything on one line. I don't know what he answered something about that. And about the tzitzis also, the Gemara says, Rabba Bar Bachana saw the Mesa Midbar. So you see, you can restore the tradition. So I remember Rabbi Soloveitchik said, Hahu Taya. The Gemara says there was an Arab who was giving the tour guide. He was the tour guide. He said, sometimes in the Zohar, when it says Ahutaya, it means Eliyahu HaNavi. So he said that if the tour guide was showing him the Mesa Midbar, that means that Eliyahu HaNavi is giving him a Masorah, so that's why it's good. It's not good because the archaeological evidence is acceptable. Then they asked him about the Rishonim say, that in the days of the Balei HaTosfot, they found a pair of tefillin in the Kevi Yecheskel HaNavi, which is in Bavel, apparently, and it was Tefillin D'Rabbeinu Tam. So it does not show that the Tefillin D'Rabbeinu Tam existed in the days of Yecheskel HaNavi. That's a pretty old source for Tefillin D'Rabbeinu Tam. So the Rishonim said, maybe it was puzzle. Maybe that's why they were going to say, because it was puzzle. In other words, archaeological evidence is acceptable, but you have to know how to interpret the archaeology. Like the Kesem Mishnah said, they found one tzitz. Maybe there were 500 tzitz, and one of them was made like this, and the others were made in two lines. You can't prove for that. Or the Chazon Ish had his own shiurim for a mikveh. So they dug out, they found mikvahs from the times of the Bais Sheni, which don't correspond to the sheer memso of the Chazon Ish. They showed the Chazon Ish is wrong. So the Maaseh, the Chazon Ish backed out from Meshita. At the end of his life, he backed out, and he agreed that the others were right. But while he was alive, they said that. So they said, it doesn't prove anything. Maybe these mikvahs were made by the Apikursim, who didn't listen to the Chachmei Chazal, that it has to be memso. Maybe the Tanaim felt like the Chazon Ish. And who do you know? How do you know whose mikveh this was? Was it a mikveh that the Chachamim used? Or was it a mikveh that Isiyim used, that Apikursim used? There were Apikursim in every generation. So that's the question. Anyway, the Gemara has a discussion about the Kodesh Lashem. Was it in one line or in two lines? Chumash speaks about a mitznefes and a mikbas. The Kohen Gadol wears a mitznefes and the Kohen Hedyot wears a mikbas. Are they the same thing? Well, how come you use two different words? So there's a Tosfos in Sukkah. But Tosfos in the first parak in Sukkah has a suggestion that maybe the yarmulke we usually assume that mitznefes was a yarmulke. Rambam Chumash and today's Sedra thinks that maybe it was just wrapped around in the middle. There was no cloth. Maybe it wasn't a yarmulke. Maybe it was just a turban wrapped around with nothing in the middle. Because it says that they put on the big day kuhuna on Aaron, and then they did Mashiach b'shem and Amishcha. Where they do the Mashiach? So he said there was nothing on top. It was just around the mitznefes. So they put the shem and Amishcha on his hair, and then they rubbed it down in front. But we usually assume that it's a yarmulke, covers the part of the head. So the Tosfos in the Sukkah has this suggestion that maybe the mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol is smaller than that of the Kohen Hedyot. We usually assume the bigger the tzaddik, the bigger the yarmulke. So one would have thought that the Kohen Gadol should have a bigger yarmulke than a Kohen Hedyot. So Tosfos thinks that not so, because it says the Kohen Gadol wore the tzitz v'hayal mitzchah tamin l'ratzahem lefnei Hashem. How do you translate mitzchah? So we would have said the forehead, the tzitz was over here. So the Targum Onkelos says b'nei nohi. So b'nei nohi sounds like, maybe it's not correct, it sounds like v'hayal tatov is b'nei necha. So where do you put the tefillin? You don't put the tefillin over here, b'nei necha. The Apikursim put it there. The Mishnah in Megillah says the Apikursim used to put the tefillin over here. But we put it b'makom seir over here. So maybe over here the Targum Onkelos says, oh, yeah, mitzcha tamid, b'nei nohi means also over here. And the Gemara says, seir hayanirat b'n tzitz limitz nefesh, shesham hayamaniach tefillin. Gemara said the Kohen Gadol wore the tzitz, then he had tefillin sharosh, and then he had the mitznefes. So if Tosfos says tzitz has to be over here, can't be over here. Tzitz has to be here. Then the tefillin shel rosh has to be over here. We have tefillin shel rosh the first thing after the hairline. But according to the Targum Onkelos, it says bein enohi. It sounds like bein enecha over here. So the tzitz is the first thing. Then the tefillin shel rosh. Then there isn't. So then you have to have the mitznefes has to begin further back. The Kohen Hedyot didn't wear a tzitz. He only wore the tefillin. And then he wore the mikbas, and the mikbas was an inch or two bigger than the mitznefes. They can't put the mitznefes on top of the tefillin, then it'll be a chatzitza. The tefillin will be a chatzitza between the mitznefes and the head. So that's what Tosfos has as a suggestion. Maybe the mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol was smaller than the mikbas of the Kohen Hedyot, because he had to have the tzitz. Tosfos has 2 days, where the amitzcha means the forehead, Amitzcha means the beginning of the hairline, where we would put the tefillin. the psukim say how HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to endow the Kohanim with Kedushas Kehuna. He should put on one beggar, another beggar, another beggar, and then after he puts on all the Kohanim, then he has Mashiach, each one had Mashiach. In Lidoiris, you only need Mashiach when you appoint a Kohen Hedyot to become a Kohen Gadol, until the days of Yoshua HaMelech, and then they did Meruba Begadim. But as a Hirah Shoah, they had to do Mashiach on the four sons of Aaron HaKohen to endow them with Kedushas Kehuna. So they did Mashiach on Aaron and on the four sons. So the Gemara has a suffix. I think it was in the first parak of Yuma. I don't remember. Ketzad Hilbishon. Exactly how did Moshe Rabbeinu put it on? Which beggar did he put it on first? So the Gemara says, Maida Hava Havi, what's the difference? When you talk and learning, it has to be Halacha L'maisa, something that's Negei L'dina. We're going to talk about what was the din in the Midbar, Kodem Matan Torah. Whatever the din was, it's no longer like that. That's a bitl Torah. Talmud Torah is only if you talk and learning on dinim that are noig today, or there'll be noig, lasid lava, okay. But if it's a Rasha, that's no longer noig. We're going to talk about the dinim of the Bama. So the Gemara considers that bitl Torah. Yeah. The Gemara does talk about dinim of Bama. The Rambam never has any dinim of Bama. The Rambam only wrote the dinim that are noig today, the dinim that are going to be noig in the future. There isn't going to be any Bama in the future. But the Mishnais and the Gemara do have dinim of Bama. So that's a question. Why? The Gemara says, Maida Havahavi, it's Bittul Torah. So why did the Mishnais? And they wrote Svarim, the complete Svarim, what are all the details of Hilchas Bama? It should all be Bittul Torah. The Gemara says, Maida Havahavi. So the... So the Gemara has a suffix. Kate said Hilbishon, how exactly did Moshe Rabbeinu put on, which beggar did he put on first? Mainav Kemina, Maidav Avi. Mar says, Kate said Malbishon Lasi Lovai, after Tchias HaMesim, and the Kohanim will come back to life, so they will no longer have Kedushas Kehuna. Once they died, they don't have Kedushas Kehuna. So when they come back to life, they won't be Kohanim. So we'll have to be Mekadosh them again. All the Jews that come back to life will have to have a geiris again. At the time of Maamar HaSinai, everybody had geiris. There was Mila in Mitzrayim 7 weeks before, then there was Tfilah right before HaSinai, then there was Korban. So every Jewish person is going to have that. Never says in the Gemara anyway. But it does say that Kohanim will come back to life, will have to be Mekadosh them all over again, will have to put on Big Day Kuna to be Mekadosh them. So Kate said, Malbishan Osan Lasid Lovah. How will we be Mekadosh the Kohanim all over again? Except it's a surprising Gemara. Very surprising Gemara that you'll have to be Mekadosh the Kohanim again. It never says you have to be Mekadosh the Yisraelim again. I don't know. We mentioned before that there are two types of Kohanim Gedolim. There's the old Bais Rishon period, from the days of Aaron HaKohen until the days of Yoshua HaMelech, they made a Kohen Gadol by doing Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. And after he was going is that B'Shem and Amishcha in the basement in the Beis HaMikdash with the Aron HaBris, with the Tzitzenes Amon and Matei Aaron. So from that time on, they had Meruba B'Godim. The person who was chosen by the Beis HaGadol to become the new Kohen Gadol would wear the Shemayin B'Godim 7 days in a row, and he would be Makar Kabbanis with it, and that made him into Kohen Gadol. So, but the Mishnah in the first parak in Megillah says, "Ein ben koyin meruba begadim koyin mashoch b'shem and amishcha para ba kol amitzus." The koyinim who had mashiach b'shem and amishcha had a slightly higher level of kedusha than the koyinim. There was one din that didn't apply to them, the par koyin mashiach, the machlekes Rashi and Tosfos that we discussed before. So there's a din in Maseches Nozir. A koyin is not allowed to be metame to any mace, unless it's one of the Zayin Karoivim, or it's a Meis Mitzvah. A Nazir and a Kohen Gadol are not even allowed to be Metamit to the Zayin Karoivim, but they are permitted and obligated to be Metamit to a Meis Mitzvah. So the Mishnah has a Shaila. What if you have a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir walking down the highway, there's nobody else in sight, nobody has a cell phone, and they come upon a dead Jewish body. So it's a Meis Mitzvah. You don't really need both of them to be Metapel and a Meis Mitzvah, one or the other. should be metame to bury the meis mitzvah. So who has the higher level of kedusha, the kohen gadol or the nazir? They have the exact same dinim, that they're both not allowed to be metame even to the zayin kerovim, and they both are permitted and obligated to be metame to the meis mitzvah. So that's a machlekes hatanam. So that's a whole discussion. And the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, what is the machlekes blazer and the chachamim? What exactly is the machlekes? But then the Mishnah has there in nazir other cases. So let's say in the days of Yoshio HaMelech, you have the kohen gadol who retired. He became a kohen gadol through Mashiach b'shem and Amishcha. Then Yoshio HaMelech was going as the shem and Amishcha, so they had a point. Old kohen gadol retired, so they had a point. The new kohen gadol. So you have the two kohanim gadolim are walking down the road. Probably never happened. Two kohanim gadolim are walking down the highway. There's no one else in sight, and there's a Jewish dead body there. Ameis mitzvah. Nobody has a cell phone to call the Chevra Kadisha, and you don't need both of them to be metame. So which one of them has the higher level of Kedusha? Which one has the lower level of Kedusha? So the Mishnah said in Megillah, Ein ben koin moshuch b'shem anishch, koin amruvah b'gon parabok olam mitzvahs. The one is moshuch b'shem anishch has the higher level of Kedusha, it's kuna gedol, because he has one din that the amruvah b'gonim doesn't have. So therefore, whenever you have to violate a din, whenever the halacha says you have to violate an issa, so you always recommend hakala kal tchila. Let's say mishum pikuach nefesh, you have to be mechal Shabbos. So you can save someone's life by violating a din deraisa. You can save someone's life by violating a din derabbanan. So violate a din derabbanan. Why do you have to violate a din deraisa? Or a person is starving and he has a choice of eating two foods and they're both dreif. So one food is chel v'dam that has kores, the other food is tevel that has misa v'dei shamayim. So kores is worse than misa v'dei shamayim. Or the Gemara talks about these kind of things. What's hakala kal tchila? So the Mishnah in Nazir says if you have the koyim moshoch b'sham and hamishcha, the koyim merubah b'godim, so hakala kal tchila is the merubah b'godim has a lower level of kedusha kuna gedolah. The one who has the mashiach b'sham and hamishcha has a slightly higher level. So we should say the one who has the lower level should be metami to the meis mitzvah. You have a lot of details there. You have a kohen, there's a nazir oilam. In the Chumash, there's a din of a nazir, and nazirus p'chusim ilam yom. You can't have nazirus less than lam yom. If a person is already nazir, stam nazirus and shloshim yom. If he says, I want to be a nazir for 35 days, it's 35. I want to be a nazir for 45 days, for 450 days, whatever he says, has to go in units of days. But then there's a concept of a nazir olam. Nazir olam has different din. Where's nazir olam? It's not written in Chumash. It's all halacha l'moshe m'sina. So the Yerushalmi said, this is not discussed in Babylon, but the Prima Godin and his Psicha Kolelis, Torah Chaim, which is really a general introduction to all of Torah Shabbat Peh, Prima Godin quotes this Yerushalmi and Nazir, that if you have a Kohen, if you have a Nazir Olam walking down the highway with a plain Nazir, so since the Nazir Olam is only based on Halacha Moshe Mesinai, and the Nazir Stam is based on Torah Shebichsav, so Din Daraisa Torah Shebichsav is more chomer than Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So Hakala Kal Tchila, somebody has to be Metamit in the Meis Mitzvah. So the one who has the lesser Iser is the one who should be Metamit. So we would prefer that the Nazir Olam, who's only a Nazir based on Halacha Moshe Mesina, he should be Metame, rather than the Nazir Stam should be Metame. The Stam an interesting bit. The Torah Shebichsav is considered more chomer than Torah Shebal Peh. Usually when you have a Korban HaShutvim, so the Gemara said there's an issue when you do Tenufa or when you do Smicha. You have to do Smicha with Shtei Yadayim. We mentioned there's a targum on Chumash that's called Targum Yonis HaMenazir, but it's not by Yonis HaMenazir. The Gemara says he only made a targum on Novi, he didn't make a targum on Ksuvim, he didn't make a targum on Chumash. So they say it's a mistake, it's tough yud, it's a targum Yerushalmi. They're not sure who wrote it. Some claim that it was written by a Karoi, because he has a lot of times things against the Gemara. And then others try to defend this targum Yerushalmi, targum Yonis HaMenazir, and they wrote quite a few svarim were written to try to defend all the strange things, all the difficult strange things in the Targum Yonis HaMenazir. So in one place, Yonis HaMenazir writes that when you do smicha nekam, you do smicha with the right hand. It's against the Mishnayos. It's the fair, you do smicha with both hands. And the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, when he does the smicha, it says, he does smicha with both hands. Even though Nechum says Samach as Yodo in the singular, but the Mishnah says that you do it two ends. So some say that the one who wrote Tagna Anisim and Azir was a Tana, and he disagrees with the Mishnah. Okay, making a lot of assumptions. It's questionable. So usually the din in the Gemara is, if you have a Korban HaShutvim, two people join together to bring a Korban. I could have brought the Korban on my own, you could have brought it on your own. We decided to save money, so each one pays $500, we buy a Korban that's worth $1,000. So if we're both going to do smicha at the same time, I'm an independent bala korban, you're an independent. You could have brought the whole korban on your own if you would be prepared to spend $1,000. I could have spent $1,000. Each one is independent. So your hands will be a chatzitza between my hand and the head of the animal. And if I do smicha first, you put your hands on top of my hands, so my hands will be a chatzitza. So they can't do smicha at the same time unless the head of the animal is gigantic. There's enough room for everybody, for both of them to do smicha. So the Gemara said, when you have a korban on shutvim, each one does his own smicha. What about tenufa? What about doing tenufa on the chaz of a shok, of a shlomim, let's say? So the Gemara says, you can't do smicha all the shutvim together because it'll be right to the din of chatzitza, be a problem. And there's a pasuk that implies you can't do more than one tenufa. By smicha, you can have all the 10 shutvim. Each one will do his own smicha. And shine. By tenufa, you can only have one. So that's what the Gemara says. It's a korban ha-shutvim. Echad neinef ha-yidei kulam. One does tenufa, and all the 10 shutvim are yotze. So then there's a tosefta that points out that in today's Sedrin, in Tetzaveh, that is repeated later in Parasha Shmini, I think, or in Tzaveh Shmini, I forgot already. So it says, by the korban Aaron Abanov, to make them into Kohanim, they had to bring korbanis. So there were 5 shutvim, Aaron and his 4 sons. So it says that they all did tenufa. So that's against the halacha. The halacha is echamenefai de kulam. So you see that was a hayra shor. So why was it different? How come there was a hayra shor that they all do the tenufa? So Rav Avraham Soloveitchik is quoted in the notes that the Talmidim wrote up on the Gemara. His quote is explaining like this. If you're talking about a korban oyla, korban shlamim, I could have brought it on my own, you could have brought it on your own. We want to save money, so we join together. You have 5, 10 shutim joined together. So then, each one's hands is chatzitza for the other one, because I don't blend in with you. It's not one bialim, each one is an independent bialim. So that's why each one has to do his own smicha, and each one would have really had to do his own tenufa, but there's a pasuk, it doesn't make sense to have more than one tenufa. But here by Korban Aaron Abanov, if each one of them would decide they're rich, they have a lot of bizus hayam, each one wants to bring his own korban, it wouldn't be allowed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared they all have a din. This korban has to, they became shutum bal korcham, whether they like it or not. They all have to bring together this one set of korbanos. So whenever it's a bailus, a shutfis, bal korcham, so then it's considered one big bailus. I couldn't bring my own set of korbanos, and each one of the 4 sons are going to bring his own set of korbanos. Won't go. So here, they all did tenufa bevasachas because no one's hand is a chatzita. It's all one bailum. Rav Avraham thought maybe the smicha also, it says they all did smicha. So maybe the smicha means that they all did smicha bevasachas also. Like he thought that they all did tenufa, one tenufa bevasachas. He thought that they did one smicha bevasachas, but then he writes that this is not the way the Ravid writes. The Ravid has a commentary on Torah's Kohanim. So on either Parshas Tzaveh Shmini, I forgot, when the Chumash says that the Kohanim brought these karbonas, so the Ravid says, when they all did smicha itself, understood, each one did smicha b'zeh hazeh, because that's what it says in the Gemara, when you have a korban ha-shutvim, each one does smicha b'zeh hazeh. So Rav Avraham says, he would have said, not so, he would have said, because there was another exception to the, there was an exception, the Sefta says there was an exception to the rule, that they all did tenufa. They all did tenufa. Why they all did tenufa? So he thought because it's one bialim and they all did together. So he thought maybe they did the smicha also together. So this is a question that I raised initially. Let's say make an eruv in a neighborhood. So we rent from the marshal here. We rent from the chief of police of the area as representing all the nochem and all the mechalei Shabbos. So they don't answer. But then you have, so you have to, then you have to put away a box of matzahs as on the shutzahs, but you all do the shomer Shabbos. So all you need is one shomer Shabbos. He doesn't believe in Erev. So he says, I don't want, so how do you do it? One person picks up a box of matzahs and he says, Zochel Adam Shlevifonov. That's the first time in Mishnah that it says, Zochel Adam Shlevifonov, is the Mishnah in Erev. When you want to make an Erev for the neighborhood, so one person buys the box of matzahs, he gives it to the other one. He picks it up at Tefach, and he's kind on behalf of all the Jews that live in the neighborhood. We didn't zochel yadam shleivifano. But the Gemara said, whenever you do zochel yadam shleivifano, if the fell on whose behalf we made the kinyan is moicher, he says, I don't want it, then he ruins the zochin. So you always have one crackpot in the neighborhood who doesn't. Here they have an Erev in the neighborhood, and the people from Broyers don't believe in the Erev. They say that, what was the cause, I think, of the First World War? When they made the Erev in Frankfurt, that started the war. The First World War was a punishment because they made an Erev in Frankfurt. The other rabbi made the Erev, not the Breuer's community. Rabbi Hirsch didn't. Rabbi Hirsch and son-in-law didn't. But the regular Jewish Orthodox community made the Erev, so that was caused the First World War. So they don't believe in Erev. I don't know what they do with the whole Masechta Erev. What do they do with the whole Shulchan Aruch? Talks about making Eruv in the neighborhood. I'm not sure what they do. I'm not sure exactly what they're worried about. So all you need is one person that doesn't want to be kind of shutvus in the box of matzahs, so you ruin the whole Erev. So there always is one person who doesn't want to be kind of shutvus in the box of matzahs. So he torpedoes the whole Erev. So the whole Erev is no good. It's a question. So it could, there's a possibility that when we started the Masechta, we spoke about people who live neighbors to each other, there's an issue of hezegriya, so they have a din of shutvim. So it could be that all of the people in the neighborhood have a din of shutfim bal korcham for all the inyanim that they share in common. And this is like the shutfas of Aaron Abonav and the Karbonis. So maybe the din is here that you go basa roiv. If roiv, you don't treat them as individuals. You treat the whole group of people, all the shutfim, because it's a shutfas bal korcham. Maybe you treat them as one bailim. And as long as the roiv of them want to have the eruv, they want to be kind of shutfas in their box of matzahs, so maybe it's considered as if everybody agreed to the shutfas and the box of matzahs. A possibility. Then at the end of the parsha, it says when they brought the karpos for Aaron Abonav, so then Aaron Abonav had to eat the menachas. They ate the menachas and they ate the basar of the karpos. So Rashi on the Gemara in a few places writes that this pasuk is the mocker that there's a mitzvah to eat kach mekalim. Some of the karbonos are shlomim, but kach mekalim. You see, it's a mitzvah to eat kach mekalim. The Rambam's opinion is not so. The Rambam, the Radov Soloveitchik points that out in a Sefer HaChumash in the Shur Madigin Moria. In different places, Radov has it different. The Rambam, both in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah on the Kohanim to eat kach mekalim, to eat shiori menachas. The lechem aponim is kachim kachim, but kachim kalim is not a mitzvah to eat. Is it din lo sasir men adboika? If you're going to leave it over shnei yamim v'laylecha till after the 2 days are up, or you are mechot, whatever the korban happens to be, if you leave it over, you'll be in violation of lo sasiru. You'll be in violation of it. So you have to see to it that it should be eaten. But when you eat it, you're not really mekayim mitzvah. The kiyum mitzvah of eating kachim is only zichr kuna eat in the azara if they're eating kachim kachim. But to eat kachim kalim, the Rambam seems to hold, is not a mitzvah. There's a Tosus in Beitzah, Daf Chof on the base, where Tosus quotes a din in the Gemara, calls man that you weren't makta the emurim, the Kohanim are not allowed to eat the shiori, let's say, amincha. The Kohanim can't eat the shiori amincha till you makta the comments. The Haktoras HaKoinetz is Mata Achilas HaShiraim, and when you do the Haktorah, because by a mincha, that's all you burn on the Mizbech, is the comments. But let's say you brought a Chatos, so you zorek the dam of the Chatos, so the Korban is kosher. Korban is kosher, but the Kohanim are not allowed to eat the Besara Chatos until you makta the Emur. Unless the Emur nitmu or Yovdu, so that there are Emurim to speak of. So then the Kohanim are permitted to eat the Besara Chatos without Haktoras HaEmurim. But if the Emurim are here, they're not Nitmo, they're not Ovdu, then the Kohanim are not allowed to eat the Besara Chatos before you makta the Emurim. So Tosfos assumes that they were Poshut. They don't even write that they're extending the Gemara. there's a sum that applies to kachim kalim also, that the bailam are not allowed to eat the kachim the shlamim before you do haktaras emurim of the shlamim. So the tzlach is a sefer on beitza written by the author of the Rabbi Yehuda. He has a lot of famous pilpulim. So this is one of his famous comments on chof on the basis. How do Tosfos know that that's true? Never says in the Gemara anywhere. Only says it by kachi kachim. Kachi kachim, achilas kohanim is a mitzvah. So then there's a seder, which mitzvah you have to do first. You have to first to do haktoras emurim. But the kachim kalim, it's a din lo sasir men adbuk. You have to see to it that it should be eaten up, but the achila per se is not a mitzvah. So he tainas, he's not so convinced that Tosfos is right, that that the din applies over there, that you shouldn't be allowed to eat the v'sar kachim kalim before you do haktoras emurim. He thinks maybe it only applies to kachi kachim. Okay, everyone should have a good Shabbos.